outpatient visits. The program will even...
Radio.
293...
Be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You have found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports Index.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
I have no idea how much it always touches me when I hear Rooney's voice. You know, songs, voices take you back to recent time, and you look back and, wow, you say, man, not only do you remember the time, but in some cases, how long ago it was. We started here on Sports In Depth on Blake Radio. I'll be indebted to them always. Mel, I met the legendary man Burton, who was happy birthday to today. Act as a week of birthdays here, leading up to the show. Six, from Uncle John. Also, Babe Ruth's birthday. Next day, my brother's birthday. Fifth, Hank Aaron's birthday. Seventh, the birthday of my beloved Lenny. On the 8th, my beloved Elkie, her mother, I mean, their mother's birthday, back to back. Today, Marion Borkin. Can't say enough about the friend he is. Just saying, I count my blessings, I count you twice. Big month for him, because both his boys are born this month. Brandon on the 2nd is the birthday of Lady A. Of Lady A, Lady Chambliss, Audrey Chambliss. Marcus' birthday will be on the 16th, this Sunday 16th. Sports Wise this month, wow. Michael Jordan and Jim Brown on the 17th. Charles Barkley on the 20th. The great, the legendary Dr. J on the 22nd with my cousin Audrey. Flowers, 27th, my cousin Kyle, 28th, my late aunt Naomi, yesterday, my cousin Larry. Sports Wise also, 24th. It is switched in history of baseball. Only man is a switch at him. 500 home runs, 100 doubles, 1,000 base hits. Eddie Murray. Birthday of Money Mayweather. Will he fight again? That's the question we asked here in the show. Pacquiao says he will. He or will he not fight Mayweather? Time will tell. Mary Davis last night. Stella, stunning. And it's titled First Round TKO. Wow. song I always say is apropos. But it's freezing out, it's colder out today in New York. Throwing stuff too. It's like this, you so much wish. Cool summer breeze. But this time, by the grace of God, I'll be. But the weather will be warmer. Blaze Brazil, Caxias, Brazil, São Paulo, Brazil, largest city in Latin America and Brazil. All the Boys of Summer, documentary the other day, I got a help, someone I met there, Tim Robinson. I found these sports in the Block Talk Radio and Trust and Guard Network, just a small hit, Lindsey Vonn. Ice. Peace. Let's open up in prayer. I'll be going solo tonight. Wrong either. Grammys. Bill Obama showed up there. First African American First Lady. S. Harry Hart introduced me greatest African-American sportscast in the history. Makes him the greatest of all time. Panama. The Caribbean. Sorry about that, too.
Hi, this is Panama from Beauty and Barbershop Andres, located in the Bronx, New York, 27B. 175th Street. Hola, este es Panamá. The Beauty Barbershop Andrés, ubicado aquí en el Bronx, en la calle 175. Venga y vea su barbero, el Gran Panamá.
Doc Staley, sports in the Block Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Doc Staley in the Proxy, Panama. That's the place to be. Trust and Guard.
His apropos panel introduced us here too. Amazing story. And we're going to get to that after we pray. John Coltrane leads us in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. Another Sunday, your day. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Lord, let your way be our way. As our beloved family members, sisters and brothers, parents, relatives, our friends, and our enemy. Thank you for clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet, food on the table. The mother, beloved mother, even said, clothe in the right mind. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know who brings tomorrow. Blessed that we are that we saw today. No, tomorrow will definitely come. With it, thank you so heartily for today. In the name of your darling son and Savior, Jesus. There's an alarm going out. I'm concerned. I haven't heard from Rosie, our number one listener from Volta Redonda. She's always listening to all the shows. But Eric in Sea Wings. We're moving to the show. The Panama thing. Yeah. Caribbean baseball was supposed to be. Well, I had some issues there, and I was concerned about it. And Panama said, well, hey, you know what? Everything's all right here. We know we're not in the series, but you know what? I'm going to here have the series. And, you know, let's put on my team, one of our teams in. Panama hadn't won the Caribbean World Series and had kind of pulled out of the series off a lot of time. But they said, well, look, you know, here, at the Pat Carew Stadium, no, all will be well. I said, well, hey, okay, fine. And yeah, put one team in. Well, guess who won the Caribbean baseball tournament? Panama. And they also had the top hitter on the team. And they also had the guy who drove in the most runs on the team. And they also had the guy who hit the most home runs on the team. And their pitching staff had the lowest ERA. And you wonder why they won. And they were just hosting. They weren't going to be in it. Hadn't been in it for years, Panama told me. And another amazing thing Panama told me, too, is that during the tenure was the American bases in Panama, anybody whose child was born in the American hospital due to the fact that their father or their mother worked there, that baby was given United States citizenship. Yeah. The baby born in the military hospital in Panama during that 10-year time, you are automatically an American citizen. Learn something every day. Boys of, Other Boys of Summer documentary, I got a few more information on that for you. Saw that last Thursday. Yeah, last Thursday. Screaming. Down at the, it's supposed to have been a Cooper Union right across the street. They had it in another building, which was the first building that, in fact, it was happening last, yeah, Jackie Robinson's birthday, January 31st. First building that the NCAA had a meeting in. And it was apropos that the Other Boys of Summer was done. There. Some of the guys are gone, though. Minnie Minoso. Thinking of Mr. Roberts' name, too. I got to get that in. He talked about how some of the guys, when they did play with an integrated team, and they got to certain places and the hotel wouldn't accept them. And teammates say, well, if he can't stay here, we can't stay here. And then some places make concessions where, okay, you know what, we'll set a table up for him in the kitchen. And Mr. Robinson talked about how that bothered him, that he was an American citizen, and there was a Latin guy on the team that could sit with the rest of the players. Pedro, I've got to get that card, make sure I get Pedro's name correctly, and he talked about Mule Skinner, legendary home run hitter. And the thing that was the Negro Leagues remind me so much of the ABA, all for one, the brotherhood, the kinship. And Pedro told about how, the players told him, look here now, understand, you may strike this guy out two times a day. You may win this game, but don't go boasting. Be humble. Because, the game you win today, you could lose tomorrow. He's over 3 today, he could be 3-3 tomorrow. So always be humble. Always be gracious in victory. One for all and all for one. Tremendous documentary. We'll talk more about that because I have Mr. Robinson and Pedro on the show with me in the future. It was just a really nice documentary. And, the guys talked about, the things that they went through. And, he said, they made more money and they weren't concerned about certain things and adjustments they had to make, Jim Robinson talked about coming from New York. Just never seen that kind of stuff. Just never. It's like a whole other world. He said, just never seen it, Couldn't eat in this place. Couldn't drink a water fountain here. It was interesting story of Mr. Robinson. Send me a nice letter, too. I'm going to read some of the letter that he sent me. But he talked about what I found out. It's not something every day. I learned a thing from a panel. Mr. Robinson got a full baseball scholarship to North Carolina A&T, and he got it through Roy Campanella, who had a family member, I believe his sister-in-law was married to the gentleman in charge of the scholarships there, and Jim Robinson got a full baseball scholarship, became captain of the Kansas City Monarchs. Wow. What a tremendous thing that was, to be captain of the Kansas City Monarchs. And talked about how I remember Campanella had a liquor store. In fact, Art Russ Jr. told me this story that he had him come to Smalls to do an interview, and Mr. Campanella told me he wouldn't have done it for anybody else but him. If I'm correct, that was the same night that he wound up having the accident. He didn't have his Cadillac with him, and he got a loaner car, and the brakes weren't as good. And Roy Campanella, at that time, was the only National League to win 3 MVP awards, only African-American player to win 3 MVP awards, and it was conceded that when he would go to L.A. with the Dodgers, he would wind up at least with another one, and that short porch would be advantageous excuse me, for his swing, because he also was, at that time, the catcher who hit the most home runs in the history of baseball. His 40 home runs was the most ever hit by a catcher in baseball history. Great, great player. First ballot Hall of Famer, and his chance came up. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. Knicks are still losing. Nets are starting to lose again. But it's remarkable to see every day that the coach is just really concerned about one game, finding victory in defeat. Remarkable. Jump Shot, you with us? Thought I had Jump Shot with us here. Okay. Yeah. Finding victory in defeat. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. I'd like to play this tune too as we open the show. We just heard, and I just thought it was apropos. Sometimes lose sight of it. We are blessed. Mr. Wilson.
I knew God was with me. I always used to pray. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out, and I'm going to testify, and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God. Every day is feeling just like Sunday. Wife is fly by my side. Green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams. Just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise. What's in the water got you acting like this? Ain't a day gone by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good. And every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. Ain't a day gone by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed.
Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes, living This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Diana Ross. Grammys tonight. Your first Grammys. Performing at 75. I'll get Diana. Jump Shot, you with us? Looking for Jump Shot to join us. Diana Ross, you know, her first endeavor in acting, she was nominated for a Grammy in playing Billie Holiday. Lady Sings the Blues. As you know, she's in the Hall of Fame as a solo act in the greatest female singing group of all time, Supremes, who were primates, were part of a group with the Temptations, who were the primes at that time. Well, who will later become the Temptations. Eddie Kendricks and Paul Williams were the primes. They joined up later with Otis Williams, Melvin Franklin, who were friends, and Jimmy Ruffin's younger brother, David, became the pound for pound greatest all around singing group of all time. You used to watch the Temptations. Watch them singing "I Wish It Would Rain" and the way they move in the background. You know, there's a thing we did on the show, and you just see the way glide David, as Paul sings, glides to the microphone. The four-headed microphone was David Ruffin's invention. David was the one that invented that, and Eddie Kendricks, Paul Williams, Otis Williams, David Ruffin, Melvin Franklin. Temptations. Wow. 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 Talking about the New Orleans, we talked about I just had that in front of me now because I met a gentleman there at the fair and we exchanged cards and everything. And I wanted to mention him publicly and then have him on the show down the line. My house looked like Oscar Madison's room. I remember the Odd Couple. They had an episode, and I loved that show. I never saw that show until rerun. Senator Jefferson. My daughter, she graduated. Mr. Randall was at that ceremony. I wish I had went downstairs and met him, you know. And I remember they had a scene where them guys broke into the apartment, and when they got to Oscar's room, the guy said, "Hey, man, somebody's already been here." But I want to thank Mr. Philip Ross, Negro League Baseball. Out of Queens, he sent me some documentation. He says he always wears his Negro League jersey out to the fair. You know what? I have mine, too. I have a Birmingham Black Barons jersey with the hat. I have the hat signed by some of Negro League. I have a lot of Negro League memorabilia. And, you know, Willie Mays was on the Birmingham Black Barons. In fact, I have a collage. Armando Vasquez, one of the great players in Negro League. Willie Mays. And Monty Irvin signed it. And, you know, Monty Irvin was a guy that was first picking to be the first black player in baseball history. Yeah. But he had a little illness. And when he came back, he wanted to better himself. And Mr. Ricky went ahead and picked Jackie. Speaker Harvey Farmer, my good buddy. Got to get Harvey back on the show. He wants his son on the show. He knew Monty. And he said he couldn't have done what Jackie did. He said, you know, he'd killed somebody. You know, Jackie... as the late, great Buck Lennon, the Lou Gehrig of the Negro Leagues, and Lou Gehrig was the Buck Lennon of the White Leagues, said that Jackie was the best suited. Not the best player, but the best suited. His age, late 20s, married, lovely woman, intelligent woman, had been a college grad, had spent military time as a second lieutenant, or the captain, and also the fact that he had come from the West Coast where he had intermingled with white players. He was the best suited. And the rest, they say, is history. Speaking of Robinson, we remember the passing of Mr. Frank Robinson the other day. I used to enjoy his company so immensely. He'd come in and I'd go into the office. And Frank Robinson was the a great old school sound, and you know, in the old days, you didn't intermingle. There was no hobnobbing with the opposition. I remember the late great Bill Shannon, another great friend. I remember hearing about his passing here, right, in the studio. He said, you know, when you see the guys talking to each other about a batting cage, you know, they can get fined for that. I remember a former New York Giant player, when Bobby Thompson got traded to the Braves, couldn't understand how he could be talking to a Dodger. Those things were serious, right? Those had been. Dixie Walker, when she traded the Yankees, it took a while for him to tell his mother he was playing for the New York Yankees. I mean, you just didn't do it. And that was Bill Gop. They said Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson, man. Even in the All-Star game, Bob wasn't talking to you. You know, shower and stuff. Man, he may have passed you the soap. But, you know, you won a Cardinal, Bob wasn't talking to you. I mean, going to win the game, we'll pat and shake hands. But, hey, you are the enemy. Tonight, you know, it's neutral. But you are the enemy. And you just didn't congregate with the opposition. What happened, too, is, you know, Pete Rose, when he joined the Cincinnati Reds, he wound up winning Rookie of the Year, which shows how that was the mindset of the players were. There's a guy named Wade Blatzengame. The Reds had went to the World Series the year before. Blatzengame hit .280, which was outstanding for a second baseman. And I learned as I grasped the game, you know, shortstop, second base, center field, catcher, you're not looking for offense. Anything you could offensively is a plus. You're looking for defense there. And that's why you look at the history of New York City baseball. Berra, Campanella, Olson Howard, Bill Dickey, exceptional, because they could hit. Then you go to the outfield, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, exceptional. You know, when you get offense from your center fielder, wow. And Derek Jeter. Jeter, a shortstop, most hits by any right-handed batter in baseball history, but, you know, when you get offense from your shortstops, Alex Rodriguez, Harness Wagner. Gary Templeton was the first guy to get 100 hits from both sides of the plate. He's in our Doc Stanley Sports and Depth Justin Guard Artifacts Museum. But when you get offense from your second baseman, Jackie Robinson, okay, Roger Hornsby, Roberto Alomar, Ryan Sandberg, when you get offensive numbers from the middle fielders, you're way ahead of the game because you're looking for the power to come from the guys in the corner, your left fielder, your right fielder, your third baseman, and your first baseman. Yeah, that's where you're looking for the offense to come from. But, yeah, it was just things just talk about in general, baseball. And hope Jump Shot would join us. Not we're going to
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, Jump Shot. Good day. You know, we're not going to be long, but we're just talking about Frank Robinson, his impact of baseball, first black manager, rookie of the year in 1956, the only man to win MVP in both leagues, first minority, only black player to win the Triple Crown. And me and Mr. Robinson talked about that. I got to find that interview. We talked about the fact that he was en route in 1967 to winning the batting title, the Triple Crown again. If he had not won the Triple Crown, it is without question he would have won one of the categories that Yastrzemski won the Triple Crown. In fact, Yastrzemski, the year that he won the Triple Crown, he tied for home runs with Hartman Killebrew. And me and Mr. Robinson talked about him, that he was en route to winning back-to-back Triple Crowns. And without question, either the batting title, the home run title, or the RBIs, first black manager, last manager of the Montreal Expos, only man to win MVP in both leagues. Your thoughts and reflections on Frank Robinson, Jump Shot?
I think Frank Robinson, much as he achieved on the field and even off the field, was still at times an underappreciated or undervalued commodity, not only in the black community, but probably in the baseball community. You know, he was someone because, you know, he carried himself with a level of professionalism and dignity and dealt with circumstances and situations, especially coming up in the mid-60s, that for many of this generation is probably beyond comprehension. Yet he still played and achieved at a high level. When you can achieve what he achieved in the mid-60s, right there in 1966, in the heat and the heart of, you know, the civil rights trauma that was going on in this country. Yeah. You know, it's definitely remarkable. I think it's someone that, unfortunately, many of us, if you're becoming a professional baseball player, a professional athlete, you know, these are the guys you need really need to sit down with and get directed and get insight, wisdom, and instruction from, and we don't. And then, you know, year after year goes by, we know their accolades, we know their on-field accolades and their records, but we don't really get to connect with them the way we should in a manner that helps us to be better people. And, you know, Frank Robinson was, he was just one of those people that if you could get an hour conversation with just so that you could become better, you do it, you know. And the game of baseball in general and the black community in particular is going to miss him.
Yeah, I do already. I did, too, when I was no longer going out to Shea. He stopped managing. I used to just look forward to the times when Montreal would come in because Montreal was in the same division. And he was going there, and we sat back and we talked. He talked about the fact that he could have stayed to get 600 home runs. He could have stayed to get 3,000 bases. But he said, nah, he's gone. My all-time team, I pick an all-time team. I've got Hank Aaron in left field, Willie Mays in center field, Roberto Clemente in right field. The first base is Eddie Murray. Second base is Jackie Robinson. Shortstop, I got two shortstops. Ozzie is there, of course, and Alex Rodriguez is my shortstop. And at third base is Frank Robinson. Frank Robinson is my third. Frank Robinson had the rookie record for home runs by a rookie and an athlete for a while. Behind the plate is Josh Gibson. Satchel Paige is my number one right-hand starter pitcher, followed by Tom Seaver and Juan Marichal. My two lefties, of course, Sandy Koufax and Warren Spahn. My long man out of the bullpen is Doc Gooden, Greg Maddux, and Steve Carlton. And my short guys and closers is Bob Gibson, Mariano Rivera. I don't need anybody else on that team. Other guys that would be on the team, of course, like I said, Ozzie and A-Rod are my shortstops. Barry Bonds is going to be on the team. I would have to have Mr. DiMaggio, but he would be a starter, no question. But he would be on the team. Other backup, other first baseman. If I'm going to do two, let's go around. Don Mattingly would be the other first baseman. Second baseman would be Roberto Alomar. Ozzie and A-Rod at shortstop. My other third baseman is, it's not Mike Smith, it's not George Brett. Even though I'm leaning toward Brett, I lean toward Brett over Smith. But Cleet Boyer, Barry Bonds, the other left fielder, DiMaggio, other center fielder, and the other right fielder is between Dave Winfield and Al Kaline. Other catchers, I'm going to take three of them, Campanella and Yogi Berra. And my pitching staff is just set. If I would throw one more guy in there, I'm just trying to figure who I would put. I think I've got the best pitchers ever on there. Maybe I would bring in, I just don't know. I'm looking at I think I kind of got everybody as the top right hand. Okay, Nolan Ryan. Okay, so Nolan Ryan would be my other long guy. I could go long with Noli. So they long guys would be, okay, I put Noli in, put Nolan Ryan in. But that would be my team. Frank Robinson, as I said, the first minority win the Triple Crown, only man to MVP in both leagues. And when he left Cincinnati after 10 years, he hit 30 home runs or more, 7 out of 10 times. Pete Rose talked about.
Well, look at when he did it. I mean, he won his second, the Triple Crown MVP was in 1966. He won his first MVP with the Reds, I think it was 1956.
No, he won the rookie year in 1956. He won the MVP in 1961 when the Reds won the pennant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So look
no,
at
what
he won.
Yeah.
I mean, he was many of his teammates. He wasn't even allowed to be in the same restaurant or hotel with.
Oh yeah, I mean, Kurt Flood had asked Bush in the 60s, like, you know, how can the black players stay in the same hotel with the white players? And Bush was supposedly unaware of it. Was unaware of it. Yeah. You know. Mr. Robinson was good.
He came up, 9 years, his first season, and he won Rookie of the Year. It was 56. It's 9 years, 10 years after Jackie Robinson broke the color line.
You look at that Rookie of the Year thing. It was remarkable when Jackie won it in 47, the first ever Rookie of the Year. Frank Robinson won 56. Don Newcomb won it. Roy Campanella won it. When the black players came on, they kept winning the Rookie of the Year award. And you look at the MVP award from Jackie won it in 49, as I remember. So Jackie won it in 49, Campy won it in 51, he won it in 53, he won it in 55, Willie Mays won it in 54. Campy won it, like I said, you look at 51, 53, 54, Willie Mays 55, Campy 56, Don Newcomb 57, Hank Aaron 58, 59. Ernie Banks. So after Campy became the first black player to win it three times, Banks became the first black player and first shortstop to win it back to back. Didn't grow one in 60 a year. He should have won it. Should have went to Roberto Clemente. And if Clemente wins it, then the string goes on. 61 is Frank Robinson. 62, Murray Wills. I thought Willie Mays should have won it. And 63 was Koufax. 64 was Boyer. 65, Willie Mutt does win it. That he should have won it again. 66 was Clemente. And 67 was Gibson. I think Gibson, no, 67 was Zepeda, excuse me. Linus Zepeda in 67. Gibson, I believe, in 68 and 69 was Willie McCovey. So from 49 to 69, you only had three non-black players. I'm just going to stop using that term, African-American. Koufax in 63, Janowski in 50, and Boyer in 64. And Grote, four times 60. Grote definitely should have not been the MVP. It was just the racism that continues in baseball today. But there was a story that even the black Pittsburgh sports writers were telling the out-of-town sports writers to not to vote for Roberto Clemente for the MVP. Sad and touch, as Harold Weston would say. Sad and touch. Dr. Stanley, Sports Net, Black Pack, we're in a trusting guard. No, I know Jim said we're not going to go long here, but just to look, are you surprised that Tinsdale has not been fired by the Knicks yet? What is keeping they seem to be – this is one of the few times, only times where management has seemed to understand that it's a bad team. Usually they give you a bad team, expect you to win, and then they fire you. But they haven't done that thus far. Is this imminent, or are they really is understanding as things are perceived to be right now, Jump Shot, in your opinion?
In my opinion, they came together and hired David Fizdale. Scott Perry is in the mix, and Steve Mills with about a 3-year game plan. So I think if Brett Brown in Philadelphia can get about a 5-year game plan. I think we just have to give it time. You know, I don't think this wasn't going to be the year that they were going to be a playoff team anyway, based on the roster that they started out with. So, you know, I know it's unusual for a black coach to be given any amount of time or to be part of a rebuilding program, you know, because it seems like, you know, there's always a different standard. They got to come in no matter what the roster looks like, no matter what the players are, no matter what their draft picks are, they got to come in and get to the finals their first year. Well, that's not the case here in New York. If you can give Kenny Atkinson 3 or 4 years to kind of put together a team, through free agency, through young players and draft picks. Well, let's give David Fizdale the same opportunity. Let's attempt to. We know there's double and triple standards, but let's give David Fizdale, Scott Perry, and Steve Mills, which, of course, we know the team is owned by the Dolans, but these are three black men. Let's give them an opportunity to make a change. Let's give them the 3 years. They have a 3-year game plan. Let's see where we are. Because when they go into the offseason, the Knicks are the number one team right now with cap space and money. So they're number one in terms of being able to sign, you know, with the most money to be able to sign free agents. And then they'll definitely be, they should be in the top five, the draft, in the upcoming NBA draft. So in both of those scenarios, they should be able to get some talent, which they don't have, to be able to improve this team, you know, at least within the next year or two. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Brett Brown got 6 years and patience, but I know it's Brett Brown. Kenny Atkinson got years. Lionel Hollins didn't get that. Well, Jason Kidd left.
Yeah. Now, what was the story that Kidd think of? They didn't want to give Jason what he wanted, so he said sayonara.
Yeah, if that was the case, Jason may have used that as leverage just to get out, because he wanted to go to Milwaukee.
Okay.
But you see what happens. He went to Milwaukee. You know, he wanted to be the man in Milwaukee with being involved with decisions and being the face of the franchise. Well, listen, after his second year, they got him out of there. And this team now is the number one team. So sometimes as a black coach, you can't get what your white counterparts can get.
No, you're not going to get it. You know, you look at what they gave Riley in Miami. And, boy, you just be happy you got a job. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. Jim said, I know you got to run, so I ain't going to hold you, but last thoughts and then statements before you run out on us. Like I said, the Rangers won tonight.
Dwayne Wade played his final game in Oakland against the Warriors. You know, he had a block shot and a steal with 51 seconds left to put the Heat up. Unfortunately, for him and the Miami Heat, you know, it's just too much firepower on the Warriors. And even when the Warriors make mistakes, Kevin Durant came back, hit a three, and the Warriors prevailed in Dwayne Wade's finale in Oakland, California, against the world champions. So, you know, really nice game. They gave him a nice tribute, which he deserves. And, you know, I believe with Chris Bosh's number being retired in March by the Heat, then – you know, obviously the next number that they should retire, and it would actually be fitting to do it on his last game, whenever his final home game is, whether they go to the playoffs or not, they should retire Dwayne Wade's number. When he leaves that game, that final home game this season, number three should be retired at that game, in my opinion. So, but
we'll see.
The final thoughts there. And, of course, you know, again, in this Black History Month, you know, we cannot forget not only Frank Robinson, but so many of our pioneers who have paved the way for us to even, you know, have this opportunity that we have right now. Those who have passed on, those who are still here.
Yep. Unless they say it's history, it's ironic. He passes in right after Jackie Robinson's birthday. Jackie Robinson's birthday was the 31st of January. And Frank Robinson, they both had the same last name spellings too, Robinson. Frank Robinson, Jackie Robinson. First black player, first black manager, only black player to win the Triple Crown. Only player to win MVP in both leagues, which probably may be a record that's going to stand for a long time. Maybe forever. I don't think there's anybody that's ever really come close to doing that, you know, because Frank Robinson was considered foolishly past his prime. Pete Rose story real quick before you go. Pete joined the Reds. It was after Wade Blassie game. He had a tremendous season the year before. Hit 281. Back in the day when the game was a game, played still at second base, and they went to the World Series. Well, Pete came in and pushed him out, and then the white players were upset about that. And they wouldn't talk to him, and Pete was hanging, associating with Vader Pinson, Frank Robinson, Leo Cardenas, the black players. And he said the Cincinnati Reds organization called him in, and this is the same place where Jackie Robinson had that big incident when Pee Wee Reese came over and put his arm around him. They had concerns and asked him why was he conversating and hanging with the black players. A lot of that, I think, is the reason why, too, Pete hasn't been in the Hall of Fame. Pete's not concerned about your color, as he is more so the content of your character. I've found it in sports when white people have a problem with a white athlete, he's either A-OK or he's a big asshole. Pete's case, he's A-OK. I remember the last time I saw Pete, and it was an affair. I meant to get a picture with Pete. Nimazil is having something over at a restaurant. My late dear friend, Leroy Neiman, was there with his beloved. She's always with him, too. There, Gail. And Quinn. And, Pete says, "Hey, Pete, how you doing?" He's looking at me and says, "Hey, man." He said, "Man, I was surprised." He said, "Man, I didn't think another black person would talk to me." He said, "Man," he said, "I was on a radio show today, man, and every other word was nigga, nigga, nigga." He said, "I thought I was done with the black community." It's funny. Huh. It was funny, yeah. Lynn Quayle, Leroy's Garden Angel, she was there with us. And last time I saw Pete, the great Pete Rose, and I still say Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame. You judge a player by his stats. Ty Cobb can be the first guy voted in, and we'll talk some more, too, about Mariano Rivera. But, no, we're going to run tonight here, Grammy night. A lot of people are probably listening to that. So, I know you got to run. We'll talk to you during the week, and I'll catch up with Raymond Hopkins and Wayne Shorter.
All right,
thank
Doc.
You.
Appreciate you. And,
okay, Jim Shad. Thanks,
shows
baby.
You. Even Frank Robinson, with all he achieved for the Cincinnati Reds, he was tradable during a time where there was really – There was no free agency in place, but he had the numbers, rookie of the year and MVP with the Reds, and still got traded to the Orioles. Still got traded.
Hey, with the mindset that he was an old 31, you know, in his prime, and what he did first year in Baltimore led them to the pennant and the World Series and won the Triple Crown. Enough said there about
the Dodgers and Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, yeah.
Swept the Dodgers and Sandy Koufax. They had a 20-year-old Jim Palmer on that team, and they swept them. The world champions.
If I'm correct, I think they had 420 gunners: Jim Palmer, Mike Cuellar, Dave McNally, and Pat Dobson. 420 gunners.
That was the 71 Orioles.
Okay, 71. Okay, all right then. All right.
They did not. I'm sorry. They beat the Frank got his revenge because he beat his former team, the 1970 Reds, four games to one in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But with the 420 game winners you just mentioned, Roberto Clemente and the Pittsburgh Pirates prevailed in seven games.
I knew they had a season where they had Pat Dobson. That's the guy that a lot of people don't remember. They remember Palmer, they remember Cuellar, they remember McNally,
right.
But Pat Dobson is the guy they'd be like, wow, that's 80 games right there. 80 games won by the SDF. Yeah, the screwball pitcher, Mike Cuellar.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Doc, because we've gone from that 420 game winners on one team. In a season.
Yeah, 420 against one team,
can't name
winners on any team. You never
winners in the league. I'm not talking about one team. I'm talking about the entire American League or National League to have 420.
Yeah, and none of that. And what happens with that is because, I know you're going to run, give me a minute. What happens is because in the old, Jim Cavazzano told me so, I'll never forget. He said the reason why they had the guys on the bullpen, he said they didn't want them in the game in the first place. Now, in the old days, Ron Marichal warns, so I'll never forget it. Let's go to the out-of-town scoreboard, the late great Bob Murphy says. And out in San Francisco, Giants against the Braves, it's nothing in the three, Marichal against Spahn. And then the game is going. And out-of-town scoreboard, they're in the seventh inning, Marichal against Spahn, nothing. And boom, they're now into the tenth inning. Marichal, Spahn, nothing. Then he said, I'm trying to figure, too, because, the Giants must have started that game early. Okay, it must have been a 4 o'clock game. were out there at 1 o'clock early. I'm just trying to figure why the Mets are still on. Because L.A., if Frisco, if they, well, okay, their 1 o'clock game starts at 4. I'm just trying to figure why the Mets game was still on. Unless the Mets started a night game at 7, which still will push it back. Anyway, he said, okay, it's all over. In the bottom of the 16th, Willie Mays just hit a home run off Warren Spahn. The Giants beat the Braves 1-0. Marichal, the winner, Spahn, the loser. Went the whole, and I talked to Marichal about that. He said, you know, he said, don't read that game. He threw 227 pitches. 227 pitches he threw. And you have to also count in the 16 innings, okay, he threw 8 one-way pitches every inning. So he threw over 300 pitches that game because he throws 8 one-way pitches. Okay, so the first inning, that's 80 pitches, so that's the 227, so that's 317 pitches right there.
If so a pitching coach right there, allowed his starting pitcher to do that today, he'd be fired. If a pitching coach allowed his pitcher, his starting pitcher, to throw 227 innings in two games, now forget about one game, in two games, I'll even go out and say three games, he'd be fired.
Gene Mock told, I read what Gene Mock said. He saw Sandy Koufax warming up on the sideline. He said Koufax was looking for something, he said. He said Koufax threw about 100 pitches, and he, after he, at the first, last two of it, he found what he was looking for, and he went out there and threw a perfect end no hitter against the Phillies. You know, 100 something warm up pitches. You know, it's remarkable, man. Tom Seaver told me, my buddy Tom Seaver, because I was on the batting cage, and we built a little report. And you know, you around the day, man, you win 500 games. Meaning, you pitch 7-6 in the bullpen. But, you know, I'm not looking for you. Got to have the right kind of bullpen. And I never go to Tom Seaver said, one-word reply, bullshit. That's one word, bullshit. He told me you got to pitch every 4 days, and you got to go at least 7 innings. Tom Seaver and my dad saw it before I did. He's not only he's the greatest right-handed pitcher of his era. You know, these guys use the term generation. Generation means 100 years. You know, he's the greatest. Tom Seaver was the only pitcher to strike out 200 batters 5 years in a row. When he went to the Hall of Fame, he had won 300 games, 3,000 strikeouts, and 2.7 ERA. And I remember Sparky Anderson said, I was reading some. I have the dream team thing, and he said, you know, he didn't see much of me, but the people that I respect, and the respect that he's shown by his peers. I remember I asked the great Cito Gaston, who should never be out of job, how good was Tom Seaver? And Mr. Gaston, a lot of jump shot there. Sorry about that jump shot. Cito Gaston said, if Tom Seaver had a one-run lead on you going into the seventh inning, the eighth and ninth inning, his fastball got faster. Dr. Andy's posting that Block Talk Radio Trust and Guardrail Network. And in tribute to Diana Ross, who saluted tonight at the Grammys, a little something for Diana Ross. One of my favorite songs by her, too. Miss Ross. We're waiting on you, ma'am. Go ahead. Wow. From the roots of projects out there in Detroit. Wow. Panama won the Caribbean World Series. One more
time. Hi, this is Panama from Beauty and Barbershop Andres, located in the Bronx, New York, 27B, 175th Street. Hola, este es Panamá, de Beauty Barbershop Andrés, ubicado aquí en el Bronx, en la calle 175. Venga y vea su barbero, el Gran Panamá. Zach Staley, Sports in the Block, Zach Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network, Zach Staley in the Posse, Panama. That's the place to be. Trust in God.
Go play a little bit of Sister Rosa. Watching the documentary with my sister Helen. Sitting where she's supposed to sit. Just a white person wants a seat. About a minute. Hello, brothers. And because of Sister Rose, you know, we don't ride Rosa. On the bus no more. Sister Rose, she was tired one day after a hard day on her job. When all she wanted was a well-deserved rest, not a scene from an angry mob. A bus driver said, baby, you got to get up, cause a white person wants that seat. But Miss Rose, she said, no, not no more. I'm gonna stay right here and rest my feet. Yeah, thank you, Miss Rose. You are the spark. You know, Rosa wasn't the first person to encounter that, but she was the most, like Jackie Robinson, best suited, married, mature woman, had no baggage. There was another lady, but she was pregnant. Another lady, there was some issues. Rosa was perfect. And the big question now is when she went to court, would she be found guilty or innocent? If she was found innocent, she couldn't elevate the situation, but once found guilty, she could go to a higher court to pursue it. First time somebody, or one of the few times somebody wanted to be guilty, she paid a whopping $10 fine, and the rest, they say, is history. A horde of things happened to her in that process, and we'll get back to that again. But Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way here on Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. And, you'd be surprised about the things that her husband had to leave the area, couldn't work there anymore. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way. Mr. Gaye.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It feels me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
A bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life. For the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live,
but who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, to save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined.
And if I may say that the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy. Take it away, good Doc.
When I hear Rudy's voice, I once again become cognizant of how blessed and lucky I am. That I am hearing his voice as opposed to him hearing mine. As I look around my cluttered apartment, I see the hoard of blessings. Along with the work I have to do, and the good Lord will bring me through. I am. And Larry Hardesty closes his show with that great line: "Live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow." Wow. Some docisms as Eric McNay takes us away. I'm running out of time. You're abusing it. Hide in victory and defeat. I've been told yes too many times to argue with the no. Amazing how after people die, how beloved they are. Those who continue to wait for the right time run out of it. Three thoughts, mice. This is my urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is what you pay. Your space here on Earth. Muhammad Ali. I am my brother's keeper, Roberto Clemente. Others come in all colors. Forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. Martin Luther King Jr. Be kind. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Not important except for the impact it has. Life. Jackie Robinson. Rock Stanley Sports and the Block Talk Radio and Trust and Guardrail Network. Thanks for being with us. Happy birthday, Marion Borkin. Birthday is two. Very cool. Just a running to find something true. And I'd just be running with nothing to prove. And I kept on running and had nothing to show. They all saw me running and said, there he goes. Usually we play Happy Birthday, but beautiful people they are. Audrey Chambers on the 2nd of this month. And my nephew Nelson was the first. If, and Karen. The 6th, Uncle Don. And Babel's birthday. 7th, Mother of Brother James. The 8th, Elga, her mom. My cousin Larry. Today. Keep working. Yeah, they're beautiful. Hope you're with this month. Dr. J on the 22nd of my late cousin Audrey. 20th. Jim Brown. Alice 27th. Hey, hi. Great to Texas and security. Yankee Stadium on the 15th. I'm Mabel. I'm Shad. My late beloved. Of course, it's Blog Talk Radio. Justin God Radio Network. Birthday to a horde of beautiful. Falls in there too. Happy birthday to you.
Hi, this is Panama from Beauty and Barbershop Andres, located in the Bronx, New York, 27B, 175th Street. Hola, este es Panama, de Beauty Barbershop Andres, ubicado aquí en el Bronx, en la calle 175. Venga y vea su barbero, el Gran Panama. Doc Stanley, Sports in the Block Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Doc Stanley and the Posse, Panama. That's the place to be. Trust in God.
Once again, salute Panama in the Caribbean World Series. There were some problems in Venezuela. They didn't know where they want to play. And Panama said, hey, you know what? No problem. Come here. Got Rod Carew Stadium. Come on here. We played here. You know, we hadn't been in a tournament for years. Just put one. No, hey, put one of our teams in the tournament. And win a championship. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. You say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God.
Running used to be the way I passed my time. All over town and just to see what I could find. to try and ease that lonely pain. No matter where I traveled, there I'd be, stuck in those walls of skin called me. And I was just a running to find something true. And I'd just be running with nothing to prove. And I kept on running and had nothing to show. They all saw me running and said, there he goes. You caught my eye one day while I was on a run. Somehow you made me feel my life had just begun. Last of all my roaming days, 'cause I knew from you I'd never run away. Now you've got me running to get home to you, and my heart keeps running when I think of things you do. And I won't be running to no one else no more. They all see me running and say that's love for sure.
They had a tribute to this lady tonight at the Grammys. My favorite female singer. This female.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired.
Never losing sight that there was paid that was never made. I'll be here today. Paid it all.
You remain standing in awe of the price you pay. I
Closing the show with my favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire. Of all the flowers gone. Thanks for being with us. Black Stanley, Sports and Death, Block Talk Radio. And my second favorite. Live Talk Radio, Trust in God.
Long time passing, where have all the flowers? Yeah, Tim. Another one? Okay. Okay. So you close. What time did you close the first one? Okay. 10:12. Okay. Okay.
Favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire song. With that, end of the show. We gotta go. Think about some of the great That's all, y'all. Jocko and his famous rocket ship. Al Jackson's Sunday Morning Classic. Dan Ingram. The Missouri, the kids, it's remarkable why they don't teach kids languages when they're about 5, 6, 7 years old. You pick it up like a sponge. Even teenage, I remember Murray the kid had this language, and it was, you know, a certain way you put the Missouri, Yazay. You would, but I know how to do it. I don't know how is it. Zelvin, he is Zelvin. Missouri the kid, Yazay. Then there was Frankie Crock. Big line Frankie said, boy, if I'm not on your radio, then your radio ain't on. Wow. Doc Stanley, Sports of Their Blog Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. Thanks for being with us. Always simply say from the bottom of my heart, bless you all and trust in God. Touch Me from the album by Chris Bolci. Player for Paul Simon. He was to me when I first met him. Never get a second chance to make a first impression. Reminded me of my first time in Brazil, 2004, and the night we was all leaving. Fifteen years ago. We did São Paulo, Porto Alegre, Isa, Belém, House, Brasília, Goiânia, Alegre. Gonna go into the show. Lighthearted will close us out. Again, birthday wishes to all from Frank Robin. The tape of his gonna Robinson. I'm standing supposed to blind the greater trust of God right now. Viva Panama. Something here that was kind of verse of the day. It's on the whole arm of God. step nor any other. Any piercing even to the dividing asso of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner. Finally, Sports and Dead Block Talk Radio, Wasn't God Radio. Ciao, in Portuguese. All languages. First and foremost, God. Harry Hardesty, greatest African sportscaster in history of New York City radio, the greatest of all time, closes out the show. Mr. Hardesty, please.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.